a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Philemon. It's Paul's most personal letter. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I want to talk to you today about the communication of our faith. When I say that, many things pop into our minds. We think in terms of speaking words. Years ago, a man was talking to another man about the Lord, and he says, "Your life is so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying." It's true, isn't it? We have to have a testimony that really does, in fact, impact our world before we ever begin to tell them about Jesus. I'll tell you something. You and I are living in a world that does not have a clue what is true about God. And it is not because those words are not available to people. It's because God's people are not available to people. We've barred the doors, we've shut the gates, we've circled the wagons, and we've battened down the hatches. And many times we have excused ourselves from the purpose that God has left us here to accomplish. We need to communicate our faith. However, there are many times things that stumble us. We get into a little bit of a loop in our lives where we don't move out because we've been wounded or bruised. Perhaps one of the biggest things that is an inhibitor of people's walk with the Lord is the wounds that they incur through their Christian experience. People lay down, they quit. And they need to learn how to navigate those difficulties that they will inevitably confront. I heard about a young lady who was working, and she was thrilled one week to find that in her paycheck she actually found more than she should have gotten. It was a sizable amount more than she normally got. She was very excited about that. The next week she got her paycheck and it was a lot less than it should have been. And she went into her boss and she said, "What's with this? I mean, my paycheck is not reflecting the hours I've worked." He said, "Well, you didn't say anything last week when it was higher." She said, "Well, one mistake I can take. Two mistakes, I'm not putting up with that." It's funny, isn't it? Because we know how it is. We have a limit. Jesus said 7 times 70, right? Forgive people. You know, sometimes we need to forgive God. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we need to forgive a brother or sister or a family member. And forgiveness does not mean that we necessarily countenance somebody's behavior or somebody's presence in an overt, open doors way all the time. Because sometimes you have to put up boundaries. That's okay. But the bitterness that wells up in us from the wounds that we incur, whether self-inflicted, whether sovereignly inflicted, or whether by the saints it's inflicted, we have to get past it. We have to remember what it is we have in Jesus. Now we, on the heels of our study in the book of Colossians, now come to really what we might call a footnote or an addendum. This morning we're in Philemon. So if you want to turn there, you would do well. It's a short letter. It's been called the most personal letter that Paul himself ever wrote. And it's a letter about forgiveness. Philemon is a member of the community of the Colossian church. We saw that as we concluded the book of Colossians, that he actually sends greeting out to Archippus, which is a member of Philemon's household. It's a personal letter because there is a member of Philemon's household that is really in play. He's somebody who has embarrassed Philemon greatly. It is funny how we are. We can take many wounds, many offenses. But when it comes to wounding our pride, well, that's another matter. I can stand anything but the wounding of my pride. Well, the reality for you and me is that your pride has to be wounded, because pride is something that raises a puny fist in the face of God and says, "I'm not budging. My pride is hurt, and you can't do what you're doing in my life, whether it's through other people, through myself, and through my sanctification process. We have to lay down arms against God. We have to forgive. And when we come to Philemon, we learn a little bit about the machinery of forgiveness. And when we come to it, I want you to recognize that Onesimus was also mentioned back in the book of Colossians as one of the carriers, bearers of the book of Colossians, but also as one of the ones that helped write it. Colossians ends with his name there, but it begins with his name really prominent in this letter because it's all about Philemon and Onesimus. Would you look at verse 1? The Bible says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. The thy is singular. He's writing to the family. Archippus is his son, no doubt, and Apphia is his wife. They host the church. What we might say from verses 1 down to verse 7 is what we're seeing is we're seeing Paul's praise of Philemon. It's a good place to start when you're talking about forgiveness, isn't it? I didn't say anything good. Do you remember at the end of Colossians, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that it might minister grace to the hearers. You and I are called upon to be godlike. We use the word godly. You know what a godly person is? It's somebody who's godlike in the sense of his disposition, not in his power or his position. We need to extend grace to people, including ourselves, so that we can move forward and make progress in our Christian walk. And Philemon is no different. He has been wounded, he has been hurt, and as we know, Colossians is a prison epistle, therefore, so is Philemon. He's writing from a prison. He's saying, you know what, I just praise God for you. I can't come over and give you a hug. I know you've incurred a great wound because I've gotten the backstory. Didn't know it, but I know it now. The backstory was probably hard for you. Here you were trying to maintain a great godly testimony in your community. And your servant has not only made a public display of stealing from you, but also running from you, which made everybody in your world scratch their heads and say, what is it over at Philemon's house that made his slave want to run away? Now, I know the world in which we live has an idea of what slavery is, but in those days it was the welfare system. And it was a part of the warfare system. If a people conquered a people, they could take those people in war and put them to service in their households. But also somebody could come to a friend and say, listen, I'm hurting, I'm going hard times, and I just really need some help. Can I come and live with you and help you and do your work with you till I get back on my feet? Welfare. Welfare and warfare is what slavery was in the Bible. So for this man to have left and run away was really significant in a societal way, because many people found that the position of a slave was something better than being on their own. It was also true in some of the American slavery, I'm sure, for some were set free and stayed. But with our day, let us not confuse the two. Philemon was a slave owner, but it was a part of the process of taking care of people. When he left, it made everybody in the society wonder what was going on over at Philemon's house that was making this slave feel compelled to run, not only run, but steal from him. And so it was an embarrassment publicly. It was a hit against his testimony. Now, if we live long enough, we're going to have our testimonies hit. We're going to hurt ourselves by embarrassing ourselves. Maybe we said something publicly we shouldn't have said, done something publicly we shouldn't have done. We came to our senses, repented, and came back, and God restored us. But that stands there as an ominous offense to our pride and to our hearts. And so we just say, you know what, I'll just sit over here in the corner. I'm not going to do anything. And the reason is because our pride has been hurt, and also because we've incurred a wound. We might have gone into a loop in our minds that said something like this, God, how could you let this happen to me? And the reality is, God is the grand architect of all things. He's the one who gives us the circumstances we deal with because we are in a sanctifying process in our lives. He's working on us. If we are His children, we are His concern. That's why the Bible tells us what? To cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us, doesn't He? Every one of us has lived long enough to know that there are hard things you're going to have to deal with. And none of us gets a bye on that. He brings the sunshine and the rain, and it rains upon the just and the unjust alike. Difficulties are there. The difference that you and I have is that we have underneath us the everlasting arms. And so when our world comes crumbling down, or our pride takes a huge hit, or our heart is broken beyond what we think we could ever piece back together, we have the confidence down underneath us that God has got us. I remember when I was a little boy, I got hit in the head by a mailbox. It just jumped out in front of me. And there I was. I had to get stitches. I'm at the doctor's office, and Kenny was there. And back in those days, you didn't have to worry about your insurance. You had your dad. And Kenny was standing in as my stepdad, my proxy dad, and he paid by $200 bills. Slap, slap, done. Let's go. But we couldn't go because as he was paying, I was over by the wall, and I began to slide down the wall. Got the stitches, got the injections and all that, but I slid down the road. Kenny just swooped me up, put me back on a gurney. That's what God does. He will swoop you up and He will put you back where you need to be. You know why? Because He loves you. And His Word becomes more precious to you than it ever could have with any other set of circumstances. We are not to mind the details of our circumstances. We are to mind the One who is the determiner of our circumstances. He is at work in you. And the Bible says, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we begin to lay down arms against God, against ourselves, and against our world, we will begin to thrive again. And we will begin to have a testimony again. Philemon was hurt. He was wounded. His slave had embarrassed him publicly. We've embarrassed ourselves, perhaps. Our children sometimes have embarrassed us. Maybe even our parents have embarrassed us by different behaviors that have put us in a position where we think, how could I ever recover? But the reality is, God is a personal God, and He knows where we are. Philemon was a man who loved God. Paul knew that. And he begins to praise Philemon in verses 1 to 7. He praises him, first of all, by looking at his family, Archippus, and looking at Apphia. These are people who had a church in their own home. It was hospitality on steroids. Not just letting people come and stay, but they had a house church. This was a regular meeting place. The door was revolving. The Bible talks about the fact that we're to be given to hospitality and be eager to entertain strangers. He not only praises him by acknowledging his family as being really a cut above by saying there's a church in your house, but he says in verse 4, he says, I thank God making mention of you in my prayers. He prayed for these guys quite a bit. Why did he pray for them? Because he's in prison and he heard that they were still muscling through even though it was hard. He says, I pray for you, hearing of your love and your faith. He knows he's wounded. He knows he's been humiliated. He knows he's been hurting. But Philemon, nevertheless, still has a church in his house. He's still faithful in that kind of attendance to the things of the church. He's also loving and showing forth faith, and it's toward all the saints. He says, you know what? I'm broken, but I'm going to try to help other people. This is a good thing. And it's not easy. You get hurt, you go to church next week. Praise God for you when you've done that. You've learned Jesus has the words of life.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.